KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:02, we have mostly cloudy skies and 68 degrees in Atlantic. Looking for it to be cloudy to partly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms, a high in the mid-80s. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. And the news is brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says federal budget problems make extra aid to flooded-out Iowa and Nebraska farmers unlikely. At a meeting with farmers and others Thursday in Glenwood, Vilsack says proposed budget cuts for his department make chances slim that more money would be given to disaster or insurance programs. Vilsack is scheduled to hold a similar meeting in South Sioux City, Nebraska today. The Iowa Farm Bureau estimates that up to 150,000 acres of cropland will be flooded and crops drowned by flood water from the Missouri River. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Helen Keller was asked whether she considered vision or hearing more important. She replied,
"The problems of deafness are deeper and more complex, if not more important, than those of blindness. Deafness is a much worse misfortune. Blindness cuts us off from things. Deafness cuts us off from people. To be cut off from hearing people is to be isolated indeed."
What Helen Keller knew, and what popular thought has often overlooked, is that the human sense of hearing represents the primary cognitive window into life itself. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Imagine standing in a crowded room, everyone engaged in fluid conversation, and feeling all alone. Add denial to advancing hearing loss, and you may find additional psychological symptoms, such as anxiety, frustration, and social paranoia. Since hearing loss is invisible, those around you may be unaware of what you're dealing with. If someone you love is pulling away, schedule a hearing evaluation today at ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker is asking persons who normally travel Old Lincoln Highway for recreational purposes to refrain from doing so for the time being due to increased traffic being diverted from Interstate 29. Danker's request followed a community meeting Thursday afternoon in Crescent. Old Lincoln Highway has long been a popular route for bicyclists, pedestrians, and recreational vehicles because of the way it winds through the Luss Hills. Unfortunately, he says, it also has a 50-mile-per-hour speed limit and curvy roads, which limits the areas where vehicles can safely pass. Pott County Emergency Management Director Jeff Tulin also attended Thursday's meeting. He says many citizens in the Crescent area voiced their concerns about some close calls that have taken place since I-29 was closed and traffic significantly increased onto Old Lincoln Highway. Both men said the flood impacts everyone, and they asked citizens to voluntarily avoid using the road until the closures are discontinued. Danker says when highways begin to open, they'll welcome back all the recreational users to the scenic Luss Hills route. The sheriff thanks everyone in advance for your understanding of the situation and your cooperation. The flooding Missouri River is forcing the railroads to reroute their traffic and make trains longer than normal. In Atlantic, City Administrator Doug Harris said that means Union Pacific rail traffic through the city is on the increase and could affect the length of time you spend waiting at railroad crossings. Harris told the city council during their meeting Wednesday evening he's received word from the Union Pacific Railroad that they'll be routing 8 more trains than normal daily through Atlantic because of the Midwestern floods. The UP says the trains are becoming more frequent and longer than those that normally go through the city. Railroad officials have asked motorists, pedestrians, and bicyclists to use extra caution when approaching and crossing the tracks. Truckers and trucking companies are paying a price for the flood-related closures along Interstate 29 in Iowa. The president of the Iowa Motor Truck Association told the Des Moines Register that I-29 is a major corridor for trucks. Association President Brenda Neville says there is a tremendous cost to take the highway detours, and while some of the costs can be passed on to the shipper, that doesn't always happen. Flooding on the Missouri River has closed a 20-mile stretch between Council Bluffs and the Missouri Valley area, and a 22-mile section of I-29 from Iowa Highway 2 south to U.S. Highway 136 at Rockport, Missouri. Two stretches of Interstate 680 in Pottawatomie County are also closed, including the Mormon Bridge over the Missouri River into Nebraska. Airport officials in Lincoln, Nebraska, are working on a contingency plan just in case the airport at Omaha is flooded by the Missouri River. Lincoln Airport Executive Director John Wood said Thursday that the airport is working on a worst-case scenario in case Epley Airfield in Omaha has to close. Wood says if that happens, flights will likely be diverted to Lincoln and Des Moines. Omaha Airport Authority Director Steve Kofel says the airport is not considering closing. Epley is surrounded on three sides by the Missouri River and is protected by levees tall enough to withstand a flood stage of up to 42 feet. The river is expected to crest in Omaha 36 feet and stay above flood stage for several months. Officials of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources have clarified a statement issued earlier this week with regard to Lake Manawa State Park near Council Bluffs. The DNR says the park remains open for day use and only the campground has been closed. Kevin Skadronsky, chief of state parks for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, says the park will remain open for day use until there is direct evidence that the levee standing between the Missouri River and the park will not hold. He says there's been some confusion from park visitors, and the DNR have received a lot of calls at the park asking if it was open. The DNR closed the Lake Manawa State Park campground on Monday due to safety concerns that the levee holding the Missouri River back will not withstand the pressure over the expected 6 to 8 weeks of flooding. The campground closure is expected to last through August. In case you had any thoughts about boating on the Missouri River and its associated backwaters, you better think again. The DNR says recreational boating privileges on the Mighty Mo and all the waters connected to it have been suspended indefinitely while flooding is underway. Robert Garrison, chief of the Law Enforcement Bureau for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, says this is an extremely dangerous situation, not only for recreational boaters, but for rescuers as well, if a problem should occur on the water. According to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, violation of the order establishing the suspension of recreational boating in the designated area can result in a maximum civil penalty of $40,000 for each violation. A willful and knowing violation of the no boating order can also result in a felony charge punishable by a fine of up to $250,000 and or a prison sentence from 5 to 10 years. The Iowa DNR closed boat ramps at Blue Lake, Browns Lake, and Snyder's Bend because of the flooding occurring on the Missouri River. The DNR closed all state-run boat ramps on the Missouri River on June the 2nd. A special crisis counseling team from the Iowa Department of Human Services are now working in the flood zone areas of western Iowa. Mental health specialist Karen Hyatt says their initial appearance created some mini-crisis of their own.
Our teams are wearing red shirts that say Disaster Behavioral Health Response Team, and police and some entities were getting calls, you know, are these people legitimate? And so, you know, we're really just trying to get the word out that, yes, people are going door-to-door, and it is a part of the pre-staging process.
Hyatt says they're in the area to help people deal with the stress of the flooding situation.
They're going door-to-door, canvassing, and letting people know in high-risk areas what the three levels of, you know, threat are, so they know when to evacuate and what to bring with them, where the bus will come to pick them up, you know, where the available shelters will be. Things like that.
She says the emotional toll of the flooding can be as trying as the physical aspect of moving items out of the way or building levees. And the response team works with people to help them deal with that emotional issue.
We're finding people who've been through numerous flooding events before, so they're anxious that it's going to happen again. They can do on-site counseling, work with people. We're making referrals to community organizations to try to hook people up with services if we're finding things that people need.
Wyatt says the physiological impact of flooding often doesn't get enough attention.
It's one of the areas, I think, that goes unlooked at, but what we're hearing all up and down the western side of the state is that people are experiencing a lot of stress because they're either in pre-flood staging, they're getting ready for it, but then there are people who are, like, is it going to happen? Is it not? Should I leave? Shouldn't I? The economy right now, there's so many factors that influence how a person is going to respond to an event like this.
Crisis counseling teams have been active in Blencoe and in Council Bluffs. They've also been invited to Hamburg, where many residents are expressing anxiety about the rising water. In other news, three non-injury accidents were investigated in Harlan over the past couple of weeks. Police in Harlan report the most recent accident happened on June the 10th at 6th and Laurel Streets. Officials say Megan Barrett was cited for failure to yield after her vehicle struck a vehicle driven by Marcus Burmeister. Both drivers are from Harlan. The accident caused a total of $6,700 damage. On June the 5th, Derek Monson of Harlan was cited for striking an unattended vehicle in the 500 block of Durant Street. The damage to Monson's car and a vehicle registered to Mark Grave of Harlan was estimated at $3,700 altogether. And on June the 2nd, Mallory Scheffler of Harlan was cited for failure to maintain control after police investigated an accident at 4th and Main Streets, where a bridge railing was destroyed. An Atlantic man was arrested Wednesday on a charge of public intoxication. The Atlantic Police reported Thursday 54-year-old Roy Mozarek was taken to the Cass County Jail and held pending an appearance before the magistrate. Officials with Atlantic Municipal Utility say they've hired an electrical engineering student intern, Derek Schmitz, to help implement a new program to improve the efficiency of lighting in commercial locations. AMU General Manager Alan Bonderman says any commercial customer of ANU can sign up for a free lighting efficiency audit. The utility has developed a number of rebates related to lighting based upon the type of lighting being replaced and the specific new lighting technology installed. The rebates will reduce the cost to the customer of investing in new and more efficient lighting. AMU staff will come to the business location and gather information about the existing lighting that is in use. An analysis will determine the most cost-effective lighting technologies to use as replacements. The analysis will also determine an estimated cost for upgrade kits or new fixtures, the cost of labor to install, and any and all AMU rebates that might apply. A report will be prepared and delivered to the customer that shows how quickly savings related to each type of light will repay the costs. Based on the amount of time available to perform the audits, they're somewhat limited. AMU is asking that any commercial customer interested in a free lighting audit send or drop off a completed application form as soon as possible. The form is available at www.amu2degrees.net/degrees. And then clicking on lighting audits, and then by selecting sign up form. AMU may limit free audits to those who sign up by no later than July the 15th. If you have any commercial customers have any questions about that program, you can call 243-1395. KJAN News Time is 8:13.
Listen to the following symptoms. Do they describe someone suffering from hearing loss or from the early stages of Alzheimer's? Anxiety and paranoia.
Alzheimer's disease.
Depression and withdrawal.
Hearing loss.
Reduced alertness and increased risk to personal safety.
Alzheimer's disease.
Confusion and disorientation.
Alzheimer's disease.
Hearing loss.
Actually, you're both right, on all counts. The fact is, many symptoms that might indicate the early stages of Alzheimer's disease or dementia could also point to hearing loss, and a hearing evaluation by an audiologist could relieve some of the worry. Numerous studies have concluded that a comprehensive hearing test should be part of any Alzheimer's assessment, and hearing loss needs to be addressed. Most hearing loss can be managed with hearing aids, and in many cases, the earlier mentioned symptoms improve. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. If you're concerned about the cognitive health of someone you love, don't exclude a hearing evaluation from your search for answers. Call ASI for an appointment with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements, 91-year-old Viola Musich of Harlan died Tuesday at the Mertu Memorial Hospital in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Viola Musich will be held today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 56-year-old Susan K. Gandy of Long Beach, California, died June the 9th. Graveside services for Susan Gandy will be today at 2 o'clock at the Sunny Hill Cemetery in Grimes. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. 92-year-old Esther Frazier of Griswold died Sunday in Trainer. Funeral services for Esther Frazier will be on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold, with the Dune Funeral Home of Griswold in charge of arrangements. And 75-year-old Donald Rivers of Fontenelle died Sunday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Donald Rivers will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. Our news and funeral announcements brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.